Good morning. We want to mention last week, last Sunday after morning services, Raven DeFrancisco was baptized into Christ. So congratulations to Raven, and we want to welcome him to God's family. So the past year, and I suppose the last 15 months, it's been a lot different for a lot of us. I know most of you have had your share of both joys and disappointments, but hopefully we're close to the end of that. Hopefully we're through with that. We can't live in the past. We can't think about successes of the past. We can't think about failures of the past. We just have to keep going forward. And one thing that always helps me, and sometimes we need a little bit of hope and a little bit of assurance, I think, what things are to become. One thing that always helps me to think about, just a simple little statement. We know who's in charge. God is still in charge. And it always makes me feel better to know that history is still being written. God's writing it, and he's in charge. So we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. A question I would ask you, have you ever been reading a book? And I read a lot. I read a lot of different kind of books. I read a lot of books about the Bible. I read mysteries. I read political books, self-help books, lots of different kind of books. Have you ever been reading a book and you are so anxious to find out what happens that you want to look over at the last few pages of the book and see what happens? Maybe who done it? Maybe who's with who? Maybe what? A lot of different questions you might have. You just can't stand it any longer. You want to go look at the back of the book and see what happened. And I see by some people smiling and some heads nodding, I'm not the only one that's had that happen. Let's take that question a little bit further. Have you ever actually done that? Looked ahead at the end of the book and saw what happens? I have. I don't remember. I kind of remember that I was going to be real busy, maybe traveling or something for the next few days. I knew I wasn't going to get to finish this book, and I could not stand it. I looked ahead at the end of the book to see what happened. So, you know, it's not the best thing to do, probably. I still read the book, but we've been there. We've thought about that. There was a man, story I would tell you here. There was a man that was just very optimistic, was always upbeat. His friends just noticed he was always looking on the bright side of things, very optimistic, seemed to have lots of hope for the future. So he was asked, what's your secret? What makes you this way, where you are always optimistic about the future? You're always looking on the bright side. And he said, well, I have faith in God, and I've read the end of the book. This book. He's read the end of the book. He said, I've looked to the last page. I know what happens. I know what's going to happen. Let's for a minute here, let's look ahead and at the end of this book, see some things that you'd see there that are going to happen. And if you turn in Revelation, you can turn to the last page of the book. It'll be right there in your Bible. It might be on the next to the last page. First, let's look at Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. Actually, we're going to start in verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God." We're going to be living with God. He'll be with us. And then in verse 4 here is when it really gets good. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more." We've all heard these verses before. We'll look at them again. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." It's going to be different. We could look at another verse that describes we'll have a new body. You know, we've all seen examples, known of examples, sometimes people close to us, that due to a disease or whatever, you just knew that it would be better if they went on. It'd be better if they were gone on. In heaven, you get a new body. The old things, the former things have passed away. Then let's skip down to chapter 22, and we'll just start reading there, verse 1. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, and on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun. They will need no light of lamp or sun. For the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." Remember in Genesis chapter 1 when everything was dark. The world was without form. It's complete darkness. And one of the first things God did in his creation, he said what? "Let there be light." And there was light in verse 3 of the first chapter in the Bible. Verse 3 says, "He saw that it was good." We know it's good. If we leave our homes for a few hours and we come back and it's dark, when you walk in a dark room, what's the first thing you do? Turn on the light. Throughout the Bible, light then is used as an example of good, and darkness is typically used as an example of evil. The description that we've had here, it's a beautiful description of heaven. It tells us a lot. We can see what this man read at the end of the book. That's what that gave him hope. And now for us, how do you have confidence that you're going to get this reward? How do you have confidence? That's what really gives us hope. Hope, as it's discussed in the Bible, we can think about hope. We may hope we get something, whatever. And it's a small thing. Hope in the Bible, well, one of the dictionary definitions of hope is a desire to have something with the assurance of fulfillment. Hope means I know this is going to happen. I know I'm going to get this. That's the kind of hope that we talk about in the Bible. And so how can we know, how can we have confidence that we're going to attain this goal? We're going to see this beautiful city. We're going to see a time where there's no pain, there's no crying, there's no mourning. Let's look at scripture in John 14. And these are very familiar words to us. And we're going to read them again, talk about them for a second. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. It's still hard for me to say that. We all learned it in the King James Version where it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I actually kind of like that one better. But in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you? He asked a question here. Would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. I want to talk about that just a second. You know the way to where I'm going. A lot of times we stop. When we quote this verse, we say, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and will take you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. That's usually where we stop. Read that next verse. And you know the way to where I'm going. Jesus tells us, we know the way. You know how to get there. I'm going preparing a place for you, in a place of many rooms. By the way, remember this about heaven. It's got a lot of rooms. They're not going to run out of room. But you still need a reservation. You still need a reservation. He's going to prepare that place for us. He then tells us, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you'd have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. The Bible tells us in chapter 5 and verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Some people hope they have eternal life. John says we can know we have it. Our certainty is based on the promises of God. In Revelation 2:10, we could back up again in this last book of the Bible and read, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Hope in the Bible is not just a simple wish. It is our assurance that what we have hope in is going to come to pass. What are some more reasons for our hope? Let's talk about a few. Our hope is based on the sacrifice of Christ. We know that. We have a memorial service every Sunday in which we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Hope's based on that sacrifice of our Christ. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Pretty simple statement. That's what Jesus came here for, to save sinners. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Everyone sinned. All have sinned. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, these promises of God are not to be taken lightly. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God wants everyone to repent. God wants everyone to be saved. That's up to us to spread that word. Then in Romans 5:10, as we think about that sacrifice, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Christ's sacrifice enables us to be forgiven. Christ's sacrifice is what enables us to be forgiven. Secondly, our hope is based on Christ's resurrection. I'll share a story with you. I was riding down the highway listening to the radio, and that's about the only time I listen to the radio anymore is when I'm driving somewhere. And I'm kind of an impatient radio listener, you know, I will admit. If I don't like the song that's on, or if I don't like what the announcer's saying, I start pushing those buttons. I want to know what else is on. And I was doing that one day, and the radio announcer said, "Good news." Well, I stopped there immediately. It's not that often today that we hear good news in the news media, radio or TV or anywhere. So I stopped there to hear what this man had to say. And he said, "Good news, Jesus is alive." Well, that wasn't really news to me, and it's not news to you. But I was still glad that I stopped there and got that little reminder. Jesus is alive. If he's not alive, what are we doing here? Jesus is alive. And that's what our hope is based on. The death of Christ is the means of our forgiveness. It enabled us, enabled our sins to be forgiven. But the resurrection of Christ gives us the assurance of hope, both in our forgiveness and in our eternal home in heaven. That's what gives us that assurance. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1, 4 and 5, and we read it just a few minutes ago, Bob did. The Apostle Peter wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is," and listen to this list, here's how he described our inheritance. "It's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It's kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Ready to be revealed in the last time. When? The last time. It's in the end of the book. It's going to be revealed. Our hope is based on the promises of Christ. Jesus often talked about heaven. He was real familiar with it. He used to live there. Time he was talking, he talked about heaven and he said, "For I have come down from heaven," in John 6:38, "I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Just before Jesus was arrested, he said in John 14:2, we just read it a moment ago, "I go to prepare a place for you." Here's another thing to remember about heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. It's a prepared place for prepared people. So think about that. Be prepared. Paul said in Romans 5, and this is another of God's promises. "Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Notice where it said we're standing in grace. When you're added to the church, when you're baptized and added to the church, you're now standing in grace. Your sins will be forgiven if you repent of those sins, confess them to God. Then Paul could say in Romans 8, 1 and 2, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And how do we get into Christ Jesus? Well, in Romans 6, 3, it says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." In 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Walk in the light means to put into practice the commandments of God. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Because we've been baptized into Christ, and because we're walking in the light, we have that assurance of eternal life with the Father in heaven. If we're baptized into Christ, and if we're walking in the light, if we're following his commandments, that's how we have that inner peace and that assurance of eternal life. That is our hope. That's the reason for the hope that is within us. So we do not lose heart. There's a verse that says, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Don't ever lose heart. God will never give up on you. He will never give up on you. Don't lose heart. Don't feel inferior to anyone. God made every one of us. Psalm 139:14, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God's not going to give up on you. Don't carry around worry, fear, or anxiety. I know in our lives, there's going to be things we're going to worry about. There's going to be things we're going to have anxiety about. Pray about those things. Don't carry around worry, fear, and anxiety. That will rob you of your peace. That will rob you of your inner peace. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Sure, we're going to have cares and anxieties. Here's what I would say. Control the things you can control and give the rest to God. Let God take the rest of it. He'll know what to do. Tell you something about me you don't know. Well, you might know it. You just haven't thought about it. I'm writing a book. I haven't titled it yet, but I'm writing a book. Oh, I don't get on the computer every day and put things in there. I don't sit down with pen and paper and write things down, but I'm writing a book. It's the story of my life. You're writing one too. You're writing the story of your life. From the time you got up this morning till the time you go to sleep tonight, there's entries going in that book. There's things you're putting in your book. What's going in your book? You know, some of you might be thinking, well, if I'm going to write a story about my life, there's a couple of chapters I'm going to have to leave out. That's okay. Leave them out. God said, your iniquities and sins will I remember no more. If you repent of those sins and those sins are forgiven, God forgot them. That's about as good as it gets. That's true forgiveness. You know, we're not quite that good with forgiveness sometimes. You know, you've heard the old saying, bury the hatchet. And then you've heard somebody say, well, bury the hatchet, but leave the handle out so you can get a hold of it again if you need it. That's kind of the way we are. We may forgive people, but we don't always forget. The Bible said, God said, your sins will I remember no more. That is a wonderful thought for us. So think about your book. As you're leaving here today, think about your book. What's it going to say? What's it going to say? And then you know what we started out talking about here a while ago. Think about your book. Look ahead to the end of it. Look ahead to the end of the book. What's the end of your book going to be like? Oh, I know we don't know about our death. We don't know if we're going to have a disease and linger, or we don't know if we're going to be killed instantly in a tragic accident. We've seen them all. We know it can happen. I'm not talking about that part of the end of your book. I'm talking about your spiritual life. How's the end of your book going to look? You know, we described how there's a place. There's a place made for us. Jesus went to prepare it. He's getting it ready. It's a place prepared for us if we're prepared. And how do we know we're going to get there? Well, following the commandments of God. Following the commandments of God. The good thing about my book and your book, the good thing about your book, if you look ahead at that ending and you don't like what you see, you have time to change it. You know, I'm told that some authors write a book, some of them write the ending first, and then the whole book is coming to that ending. When you look ahead at the end of your book, if you don't like what you see, you've got time to change it. If you are not part of God's family, you can do that. You could be baptized. You could confess that you understand that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for the remission of our sins. There's things in your life that need to be changed. You have time to change those, and I would urge you to do that. If you think that there's things you could do in your service to God that are an improvement over what you're doing right now, well, I would urge you to do that. Make those changes. You know how you want the ending. You know how you want your book to end. We all know. We can look ahead and say, maybe there's some things that ought to be changed there. So you have time to do that. Change that so the book of your life ends the way you want it to. We want to all be able, as that man that I described, to look ahead to the end of this book and see how it ends and have that hope and that assurance that we need to have. As we close today, if there are those here who would have a desire to be baptized, we could do that. If there are those here that have a need that you would like to make known to the church, we would invite you to do that. If you're subject to invitation in any way, would you come while we stand and sing?